Hello, everyone. We're back again with another episode of the GFSI podcast series. Today, I'm happy to be talking once again to Mary Cole Quantin, who is the GFSI Senior Technical Manager. And today, she'll be giving us a nice update regarding the latest developments on GFSI's ATP work. So let's just dive straight into it. Hi, Mary Claude.
Hello, Linda. Good to talk to you again.
Lovely. So just to give us a bit of a reminder about the context of this project and why we are running a consultation.
Sure. So ATPD is actually one of the features of the Race to the Top, which is the strategic framework initiative in March 2020 by GFSI and aims at increasing trust from the food industry and our members into third-party certification and in particular certification recognized by GFSI. The ATPD project itself, it looks at establishing a new approach for food safety auditor qualification with an ambition to facilitate entry into the profession and in fact establish a respected and attractive profession of auditing. To achieve this, we are doing what GFSI does best and establishing a recognition program for professional bodies supporting food safety auditors. Now, those professional bodies are typically organizations dedicated to the maintenance and development of competence for a given category of professionals, or in our case, food safety auditors. A few exist today, but they do not have the recognition that we would like them to have in our ecosystem. And in a new framework, they'll be here to verify auditor competency for the entire GFSI ecosystem. They will also support those auditors in establishing continuing professional development plan through which the auditors will be able to plug any competence gap they identify, but also expand their competence and therefore drive a real career in auditing. We ran a first consultation in July on the criteria that we would use to recognize professional bodies, to which we are publishing an answer now. And we're running now a second consultation, this time focusing on how we and the whole GFSI ecosystem, including the auditors, will move to this new approach.
That sounds highly interesting, Mary Claude. So could you just give me a bit more insight into how this consultation went?
Yep. So the first consultation went very well, actually. And we had response from pretty much all relevant stakeholders in our community. So answers from CB and from certification bodies and certification program owners, as you would expect, but also a good response from accreditation bodies, industry representatives or manufacturers and retailers. And notably, which is rare for us, we had responses from training organization and standardization agency. So we're really seeing in those responses that new feature, that new approach is actually getting interest from a slightly broader community than we used to. We received short of 360 comments on the proposed criteria themselves, and the integration of all those comments has led to a much improved set of benchmarking requirements, which we are now ready to publish. The consultation also included a qualitative survey inviting respondents to express their hope and concerns about the new approach. And in general, the comments were supportive of the vision. And you'll see in the answer that we're publishing that each group of stakeholders have expressed slightly different concerns and feelings, in fact, about the new approach. And when we tally this analysis with our GFSI stakeholder map, we were able to focus our engagement efforts for each of those groups based on what they expressed.
I would say that's highly encouraging that you were able to get such a high level of feedback from the consultation. Would you be able just to expand on what were the main takeaways from the comments that you received?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the analysis of the qualitative answers, if I start with this, gave us great points of focus, particularly around the transitional arrangements, which was a concern across all stakeholder groups. And this is why we're initiating consultation on those arrangements. For instance, the CBs are mostly concerned about the ABs accepting auditor registration to a professional body as proof of competence, while the auditors are more worried about the administrative burden the transition to the new approach will impose on them and having to justify their competence again when they are in effect auditing and considered competent today. We made recommendations and proposal to mitigate this all this impact in our transitional proposal and hope that this will reassure everybody. So very helpful insight from the qualitative survey. On the technical comments, as I mentioned, there were many comments on the requirement themselves with a few recurrent themes. So let me give you a few examples. For example, we had a lot of questions around who can be a professional body. The original proposal stated that the professional body had to be independent from certification activities related to GFSI recognized programs. In light of the comments we received, we changed this to impartiality. This allows us to align to a promise we actually made in the original framework set for that feature, where we said that providing the right level of impartiality was in place, certification program owners would actually be allowed to act as professional recognition bodies. And this is quite important. So that small change from independence to impartiality allows us to be more aligned to our original promises on the framework. We also had a lot of comments on criteria duplication with the content of ISO 17024, which is an accreditation standard for personnel certification. In the requirements, we expect the professional body to be accredited to this standard. And so it made no sense to have duplication of criteria between our GFSI requirements and the requirements of the ISO standards. We tidy up the documents, eliminated any redundancies, and this simplifies significantly the whole document. Another example is a recurrent concern about the protection of personal data. This is addressed in the ISO 17024 standards, actually. And we made much clearer reference to applicable regional and national regulations and the obligation of the PRB to comply with this regulation. We are talking here about information about a person, and it's very important that this is taken care of. One last example, CBs in particular, working to have strong mechanisms to feedback on the performance of auditors to professional bodies in the spirit of ensuring the best oversight possible to that auditor competence. And if you think about it, it is critical to that stakeholder in particular, as they are held accountable for the quality of the audit, and the auditor has a significant impact on that quality. And so we strengthened those feedback mechanisms. And in fact, we included an obligation from the professional body to actively and proactively gather feedback from CBs whom the auditors work with on the performance of that auditor. The whole exercise of consultation actually showed us the value of stakeholder consultation, and we're very pleased with that outcome.
So I'm quite curious to find out what are the next steps. So what should we be looking forward to with this project moving forward?
So in the next couple of weeks, we're planning to publish a new benchmarking requirements for professional body, and we will be kicking off a consultation on the transitional arrangements that I mentioned before. In this consultation, we will ask our community and questions around the best mechanisms to help the entire ecosystem to move from the current criteria to the new vision that we have shaped with this feature. Amongst those transitional arrangements, we're suggesting the running of a pilot to validate the model versus our main objective in a real life situation, something we haven't had the opportunity to do until now. And we'll be calling for volunteers to take part in that pilot. Again, with special arrangements for all parties involved in that pilot to avoid the burden of running two parallel sets of requirements, the current requirements that we impose on all GFSI recognized certification program owners and the requirements set in the new approach. This is all very exciting because we're entering the implementation phase of this project, and it's been 18 months now of consultation, debate, reviews with our steering committee on a regular basis. And it's time to test the theory and start moving forwards towards a better approach to auditor qualification.
Well, thank you so much, Marie-Claude, for taking the time today and giving us a good update on where we are with this work stream.
Thank you very much, Linda. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope you've also enjoyed this podcast too. And do stay tuned for the next episode of the GFSI podcast series, which will be coming to you very soon. Thank you once again for joining us for this episode of the GFSI podcast series. If you'd like to hear more about what we discussed today or to be added to the GFSI emailing list, please visit our website at www.mygfsi.com. Thank you and speak to you soon.